Well, here we are in the beginning of the church. In a very real sense, the church's birthday. I've occasionally threatened to sing happy birthday to the church, but it doesn't scan very well, so we dispense with that. We'll simply take it as given that this is when a new thing was inaugurated that had never been seen before. Prior to this, we had this ongoing ministry of Jesus. And, I mean, Jesus is a hinge point in history, but Jesus was still functioning within the system that was. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit, something different came, and something was changed forever. And what happened was the church, we, were inaugurated. Prior to that, those people who had the right and even the responsibility to speak the words of God were a particular kind of person. For millennia, they had been a group of people that were specifically ordained by God as prophets, as judges, and most frequently as Levites, as priests, which was a hereditary thing. And then Pentecost came and blew all that up. In a good way. Sometimes explosions are bad, sometimes they're good. Think of it as fireworks, perhaps, rather than dynamite. And that might be a better way to think of it. And we see in Acts the beginning of it all when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples in a new and profound way. The Holy Spirit has always been there. We go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, and it's the Spirit of God that's hovering over the waters, whatever that particularly means. A poetic phrase isn't exactly a description that you'd see on a photograph or something, but the reality of the Spirit being there is what we're most concerned about. And the Holy Spirit has always been in God's world, always been with God's people, working within them. But this was new. Started out very dramatically with tongues of fire, big sort of, everybody turned into a candle, if you will, that weren't burned up, which must have been quite, I think, extraordinary is the least you can say about it. I've never seen fire over somebody's head. I can't say I want to because I'm not quite sure what I'd do with it. And then from there, the Holy Spirit comes upon these people, and they speak in ways that are extraordinary to them and to those around. And we tend to look at the day of Pentecost as a particular thing, and it is. But I was thinking this morning even, and I've been thinking about it off and on, that perhaps a better way to think of Pentecost is not so much as this extraordinary one-time thing, as a starting gun. And so rather than just the fireworks that celebrate were there fireworks for the coronation? I'm sure there were, at least in England. And we have fireworks on Canada Day, and we enjoy them and all those things. But if we think of Pentecost and all that happened there and all the dramatic things and Peter's first great sermon at which thousands of people were moved into this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by that same Holy Spirit. If we think of that as a starting gun, as a beginning point rather than an ending point and rather than a single unique thing. Because what started then continues now. And if we want, we can look at Pentecost as the beginning of a race, if we want to push that metaphor as far as we can, that we are still running today. And in the same way that everybody running a race, all things being equal, is about the same. I mean, sometimes you've got races where people are in wheelchairs and things, and that's wonderful. I always find it interesting that the wheelchair people always start first in marathons, for example, because they're so much faster than people on their legs. It's about the only place you can think of that wheelchair athletes consistently beat running athletes, and they always finish first. They don't even count them as far as the end goes, because they get to coast, which have you ever tried to coast when you're running? And if you want to call falling flat on your face coasting, you can, because that, of course, is what will happen. But in this race that was started then, it continues to today. And sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we look at Pentecost as not just the beginning of something, but as something that had that happened then and has never happened in any way since. And it's true that it's never happened, that I've heard of, in exactly the same way. But the things that happened then are the things that continue even now. And that's what Paul's talking about in our Corinthians reading. Because what Paul talks about when he talks about spiritual gifts And when he talks about different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, he's saying we are in the same race. We are running the same race. We have the same equipment as the people in the beginning. And that equipment, if you want to think of it that way, is the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that appeared with this rushing wind, or at least what seemed to be a rushing wind in a room, and showed as tongues of fire above people's heads, is the same Spirit that empowers and enables the church today. Because those people, the gifts that they were given, are no different than the gifts that we have now. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, is writing after Pentecost, of course, and he's saying that these things, it's the same Spirit that was at Pentecost that is within all of us and is helping us to do that same work that those first people at Pentecost were. We don't know exactly when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Early days, or the sort of timing is a little bit tricky, but it's almost certain that some of the people that Paul was writing to who read his letter, because he wrote them as circular letters. They were frequently written to a particular congregation at a particular time, but we see often where Paul talks about, read the letter that I sent to this church and they'll read the letter I sent to you. They came around. And it's quite possible, almost certain in fact, that some people who heard this letter had been either at that first Pentecost or close to it. These are people who knew what had happened. It was within living memory. It wasn't just in the dim, dark past as it is for us now. And Paul is saying that extraordinary moment that you heard about, you may have even witnessed, brought the Spirit into the world in a new way that is exactly the same for you. And so when I think of Pentecost then and now, I think of Pentecost then and always is probably a better sermon title. What happened at Pentecost continues to today. Because what happened at Pentecost was the Holy Spirit came among people and said, you have now been given this gift that you will be able to do things that will bring continued glory to Jesus and build this church, which has just started, in ways that are above and beyond what your own abilities, your own experience, your talents, even your own cleverness are able to do. And that's what spiritual gifts are. I've talked about spiritual gifts in this community often because I think it's important that we remember that they're there and that they're unique to each person, and that you may have more than one, you may have one. It doesn't matter how many you have. I do know that everyone here has a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit has given something to you that enables you to build the church to be more than you would be naturally, if you will, in the service of what God has called you to do. And the thing is, we need each other. And that's why Paul uses the image of the body. The body's a unit, although it's made up of many parts. There are all these parts that we have to be aware of, and sometimes we forget about them. We take them for granted. I don't know if any of you have taken your thumbs for granted lately. I did for a long time, and now I've got this little splint thing. Have any of you ever heard of a trigger finger? It's where your finger pops. You think it's nothing until it gets worse and worse. And now I have this splint to wear that I'm hoping doesn't hurt anybody when I shake hands. And honestly, I hadn't thought much of my thumbs. I mean, I'm grateful for them. I know that opposable thumbs mean a great deal. But when you can't bend it the same way as you can the other one, your whole world changes. You can't carry things. You can't write the right way. I've taken it off to take a shower because, I don't know, I don't want to stab myself in my new wondrous cataract-free eyes with this splint. But it's a little thing that you really can't do without when you're as completely right-handed as I am. It makes a difference all the time. We sometimes look at ourselves in this context as when we think of spiritual gifts. We sometimes think that, well, mine isn't very important, and nothing could be further from the truth. And that's why Paul uses the metaphor of the body. We need all the parts of our body, even the ones we don't really think of. For those of us who aren't medically trained, the parts we don't even know what they are, what they're called, or where they are. did a study for, they did a sort of an in, I'm not sure who did it, and for that matter, why, but they asked a sizable group of people if they could identify more or less where parts of their body were, and about 8% could identify maybe where their spleen was. You know, we don't have any idea what's going on inside, but we do know we need them all. It's the same with the spiritual gifts that we're given. We simply cannot do without those people who see what needs to be done and do it without having somebody ask them or point it out. All of us are quite willing to do whatever needs to be done, but sometimes we don't even see it. I've spoken often of the difference between me and Hadley, and you'd think after 35 years, more things would rub off against each other. But yesterday again, there was a woman outside our house, just sort of wandering around, and perfectly harmless. I noted her existence, and that was about all. And Hadley got up and went out to make sure she was okay. It doesn't do me any honor to say it never crossed my mind to go out and see if she was okay. But Hadley sees that and acts, because that's their spiritual gift. When they see that kind of need, they respond. And it's not that I'm indifferent to this person, it's just it never crossed my mind. It turned out she was fine. She was working on her own little art project that involves decorating manhole covers. I don't know what this woman's other, the rest of her life is like, but she colors the squares on manhole covers. Beautifying the city, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't have known that, because I would have just noted her existence because she caught my eye and gone on. The spiritual gifts that we have enable us to see what needs to be done and then do it. Whether it's a thing like that, or whether it's looking at these texts and thinking that what we need to hear today as a congregation is to think about how Pentecost started what we are continuing. And maybe that wouldn't have occurred to any of you when you read them. And that's my spiritual gift. We all work together, continuing what began then. And no, I have never spoken a sermon where 3,000 people have responded. I've never spoken a sermon that 3,000 people can hear at the same time, unless I suppose you all went to the website or something. Does that mean that I don't have a gift of preaching? Well, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think the gift is demonstrated by what I do and who I am. And in the same way that Hadley almost can't not respond, that they find it almost impossible to not respond to people's needs, or at least acknowledge them. If I don't do what I'm doing this morning, I get sort of like kind of crabby. My kids used to hate it when I wasn't preaching, because every once in a while they'd tell me, look, just don't stop that. I don't need a lecture. I don't need a sermon. It's part of who I am. It sort of comes out one way or another. That spirit that we think was such a huge thing back then, and was, is equally huge now. Each of us are right in the middle of that tradition that says the Holy Spirit came upon them in the same way that the Holy Spirit has come upon each of us, not in a group, but whenever that was for us, when we understood how much God loved us and had reached out to us and enabled us to respond to God. And from that moment on, the Holy Spirit has been within us, enabling us to do more than we could otherwise, giving us wisdom in ways we didn't have before, giving us abilities and talents and discernment and all of these things that all come with it as we continue the work of Pentecost. So when we think of Pentecost then and now, it's not that it's different of what it is. It's a difference of degree. It's a difference perhaps of how it looks, but it's not a difference of who it is. The Holy Spirit came upon those people and created the church as we know it today and as we continue to work towards it. And on this Sunday of Pentecost, we celebrate once again that the Holy Spirit came upon people just like us and said, you are the church, and you are going to build the church forever. Amen.